All right, so we're beginning Masechet Brachos. So there's the interesting question that the Mefarshim asked, that the Rishonim asked, why is it that Shas begins of all things with Masechet Brachos? And specifically within Brachos, it begins with the dinim about Krishna. The first three Prachim of our Masechet are going to be about Krishna. The first three Prachim of our Masechet are going to be about Krishna. After that, the next couple of Prachim are about davening, about Shemana Esrei primarily, and then the rest of the Masechet is about various Brachos, which is why the Masechet is called Brachos. So why Brachos in general, and why Krishna in particular? So there's a couple of ideas about it. First of all, Brachos at the beginning of Seder Zroim. Seder Zroim is talking about, Seder Zroim talks about, mostly about agriculture. Mostly talks about agriculture. Zroim, seeds. It talks about agriculture. It talks about the dinim that have to do, the mitzvahs that have to do with growing things in the ground. So after Brachos, you have Peah, Dmai, Kalayim, etc. So one idea is that Rambam writes that, So that Amram writes in Akdamah to Kiddush HaMashnayas, he says, like, you have a doctor gives a person advice what to eat in order to be healthy. So you need to start with brachas, because before you even eat anything that you're going to be learning about in Zroim, you have to say brachas. So therefore, we want to have Masechta Brachas, which talks about the brachas that you're going to say about food. First, you're going to say the bracha, then you're going to eat. But then you have, within that, you're not just going to talk about brachas on food. While you're at it, you're going to talk about other brachas that a person says as well. And among them are the brachas before Shema. And Shema, the Rambam says, is unique. It's the only mitzvah that a person has to do every single day. Okay, I have also davening. The truth is that Adam holds davening is also a mitzvah in Atara. Other Rishonim disagree with that. But the Shema and Shemona Esrei, okay, we could say are the only mitzvahs that a person is obligated to actually do something every day. Therefore, it makes sense to start with that. So therefore, we start with that as an introduction to before you're going to talk about what you eat. First, you're going to talk about the brachas that you're going to make on what you eat. And therefore, ultimately, that brings us to Shema. A couple of other ideas are Shema, the Riaz, one of the Rishonim, says that Shema is Kabbalah El Malchus Shemayim. So therefore, it's most appropriate. You know, the Pasuk says, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of Chochma is to fear Hashem. Therefore, it makes sense to start with Shema, which is accepting Hashem's kingship over us, which is the whole idea of Yiras Shemayim, and therefore we put it first.
Why don't we say more simply, the Brachos is the blessings by of learning Torah. And if that's the case, we should have this introduction at the end of the Masechta Nida.
We should start talking about, actually, you make an interesting point, actually, because it is true, of course, there are brachas on Torah, but actually on Masechta, at least the Mishnayot of our Masechta, don't really deal very much with those brachas. We're going to talk about them. We are going to talk about them in the Gemara. We're going to talk about them later on Daf Yud Aleph or so. We're going to be talking about the brachas that we say before and after learning Torah. Later on, much later in the Masechta, in the sixth parak, we're going to be talking about what the basis is. We're going to talk about that midaraisa you have. There's only two brachas that a person has to say. One before learning and one after eating, and then we're going to talk about how midrabanan we get all the other brachas. But that's not going to be the primary focus of our Masechta. First, we're spending three prakim talking about Shema and its brachas, which leads to the question of why Shema first. They say also, I've seen something in the name of the Vilna Gaon, another idea is Shema, when you get down to it, especially the nighttime Shema, which is what we're going to talk about first, is the first mitzvah. When a person becomes bar mitzvah, what's the first mitzvah they become chayiv in? A person becomes bar mitzvah at night as they're going into their 13th year. So the very first mitzvah they become chayiv in is Shema. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off. Me'emasai korenet Shema ba'ayvin. From what time can we read Shema, can we say Shema in the evenings? And the Gemara is going to right away ask, why is the Mishnah assuming as a given that we have to say Shema in the evening? Where are we getting that from? But so we know, in other words, the Mishnah is saying, we know for a fact we have to say Shema in the evening. So the question is, what's the earliest we can say it? And the answer is, Mishar Shatehanim Michnosin Lechol B'Trumasan, from the time when Kohenim go in to eat Truma. Meaning, so you have a Kohen became Tomei, Toivol. Now he needs head of Shemesh in order to be able to eat Truma. So once, when the time comes where he, where head of Shemesh kicks in and now he's able to eat Truma, that is also the earliest time that you're able to say Shema. We'll see in the Gemara whether we'll see in the Gemara. Not everybody agrees to that, but that's one definition.
Does that have to be after Seis or before Seis?
So that's what we're going to see in the Gemara. It is Seis. It is Seis, but we're going to talk about in the Gemara about certain exactly. That's what Gemara is going to mention. The Gemara is going to mention that the Mishnah wanted to incidentally teach us another din. The Mishnah incidentally wanted to teach us this din that the Kohenim are able to eat Truma from Seis. When that hair of Shemesh kicks in at Seis, right?
Speaking about night or speaking in the morning?
No, we're talking about by night. So if you have a Kohen became Tomei sometime during the day, by a sheretz, by touching a zov, by whatever the various cases are, so he has to tovel. Later, the rest of that day, he's a tovel yoim, and we know that a tovel yoim is able to eat maisa sheni, but he's not able to eat truma. Even touching truma would even his touching truma would make it possible. So he has to wait until the Gemara is going to bring Ravah Shemesh v'tahir, and Ravah Shemesh we're going to explain in the Tetzach L'Chavim. At that point, not well. I suppose in theory it could be, but we're going to see because Beinash Moshe is a suffix. But we're going to see in the Gemara. We're going to have a bit of discussion in our Gemara about the relative times of Beinash Moshe and Tetzach L'Chavim, and we're going to get into that a little bit. Much later, when we're in the Sefer Shabbos, that's Hashem, we'll have a more. Later in the Sefer Shabbos, later on, and towards the end of the second parak, we'll have a few months from now, that's Hashem, we'll have a more detailed discussion about Shkia and Tzeitzak L'Chavim and the amount of time between them and all that good stuff. Okay. Ad Soich Hashmur HaRishona, until the end of the first watch. The Gemara is going to tell us that there's two different opinions, how many watches there are in the night. In terms of the one idea of it is, let's say, if you have guards set up, like in the Beis Mikdash, when do shifts end and begin? Also, the Gemara is going to tell us it also has to do with shifts of Malachim and Shemayim. So there's a certain number of watches during the night, either three or four. We'll learn about it later on in the Gemara.
That's for safety, just for recovery.
Right, so they're watching, they're guarding the Beis Mikdash is for covered, exactly. And the Malachim, so to speak, changing shifts, is also for covered. They don't have to guard Hashem against any dangers, right? So until the end of the first watch, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, says Rabbi Eliezer is the latest time that you can say Shema. The point is, in other words, the Pasuk says you have to say Shema or B'shach B'chol Kumecha. So that means one way of looking at it is B'shach B'chol means when you're going to sleep. So Rabbi Yazza takes the view, the latest that anybody goes to sleep is the end of Ashmura Rishona. After that, by that time, by the end of Ashmura Rishona, everybody is asleep. Well, according to the opinion, Rashi mentions over here just the opinion that there were three Mishmaras during the night. So according to that, each Mishmar would be approximately 4 hours, and it depends on the length of the night, of course. If you're talking, let's say, on a day when the sun sets at 6 and rises at 6, then you'd be talking about Sof Ashmura Rishona would be 10 o'clock at night. Nowadays, of course, you know, people go to sleep at all hours. But, you know, we didn't have the electric lights then. So Rabbi Yehuda takes the view. Everybody is asleep by Ashmura Hoshana. Therefore, after that, it's not over Shachbacha anymore. And on the other hand, before Mishah Shachan, there's nothing left over Shemot, and nobody goes to sleep before, at least most people don't go to sleep before it says, therefore, that's the latest. Okay. Rashi, by the way, points out another question in this connection. Now, you find in the Velt that many people daven Ma'ariv before Tzeitzak L'Chavim. In Lubavitch, it's uncommon to do that, uncommon or non-existent to do that. We always daven Ma'ariv after Tzeitz, but in the Velt, they often daven before. So in that case, then, aren't they saying Shema too early? So why are they bothering to say Shema at all? So Rashi says, you're right, he brings from the Yerushalmi, that you're right. But the question is two things. Number one, how are they Yotze Kriyishma? But number two, if they're not Yotze before, by saying it before dark anyway, why are they even bothering? Let them just say, let them just start right off with Shemana Esrei. So what about by Mincha, right? You say Ashrei and you go directly to Shemana Esrei. So Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi, the reason is because we want to say Divrei Torah before we're davening. We don't just want to rush directly into Shemana Esrei, we want to have Divrei Torah before. It's in Shema, it's Divrei Torah, it's words from Torah. But then, yes, it's true, we would have to say it we were to say it over again after it gets dark. And Rashi adds that when a person, even if a person just says the first parasha during Kriyas Shema Shalamita, that would be enough to be Yotze. At least the fact that he said three parashas earlier, and then he says one parasha at night before he goes to bed, then Rashi says that's good enough. Tosfos gets into a long discussion about that. Among other things, Tosfos finds it hard to understand why, how you could be Yotze with only the one parasha. The mitzvah of Kriyas Shema, the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema is three parashas. Not necessarily, though. A person doesn't always. I mean, yeah, you can find in the city we have all three parashiyos. But for example, you know, to give just one example, I mean, strictly speaking, for Kriyas Shema Shalamita, really all you need to say is the one parasha. We're actually going to talk about that later on in the Gemara. And you find, for example, on the first night of Pesach, when you say Leil Shimurim, at the night when Hashem guards us, and therefore we don't have to worry about Bazikin, we talk a do. We only say the first parasha of Shema and Hamapel. So how does that work? And anyway, Tosfos says even Kriyas Shema Shalamita is, again, it's only because of Mazikin, and in fact, the Gemara says later on that technically a Talmud Chacham doesn't require it. So because of all that, Tosfos wants to say the other way around. We're going to learn later on, in the fourth paragraph, we're going to talk about what's the earliest the person is allowed to daven Ma'ariv, and you have the opinion of the Yehuda over there that the earliest is Plaga Mincha. So Tosfos says we may well be following that. Given that you're able to daven Ma'ariv as early as Plaga Mincha, then Rav Yehuda might say that then also you're able to be Yotze Krishna at that time. That's true, but nevertheless, our Mishnah is giving one opinion. Mishal Shakanim is nothing like Chabot Shumasan. But we're going to see in the Gemara that there are other opinions. Some of which make it earlier. For example, one opinion we're going to see in the Gemara is when people go to start their Shabbos meal. And starting their Shabbos meal, Tosfos learns that it means that they would start doing it while it's still daylight.
Really?
Yeah. So according to that opinion, then that would be the earliest you could say Kriyas Shema. So therefore, Tosfos says that on the contrary, you are Yotze with Shema, and you are Yotze with Shema saying it before it's safe. The fact that you're saying Kriyas Shema Shalamita is only later on because of Bazikim or whatever. In any case, so...
Mazikim,
that's what I said, yeah. Okay, so the actual halacha is more like what Rashi says. You're not supposed to be relying on what Tosfos is saying over here and be Yotze with the one Bevo'od Yom. If you daven Ma'ariv and Bevo'od Yom, you are supposed to repeat Kriyas Shema after it's safe. If for whatever reason you can't, then fine, then you have Rabbeinu Tam's opinion to be Tzaymachan. We avoid the whole thing by davening after faith to begin with.
Why do we have to talk about Ma'ariv when we don't know the
Banach? We'll talk about that in the fourth paragraph. We'll talk about the why we have Ma'ariv. Okay. So anyway, Divir Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says those are the times from when they begin to eat Shlomo, which is Tzeitzak Kachavim, until the end of Ashmura Rishona, until the end of the first watch of the night. V'chamim omim ad chatzos. V'chamim say until chatzos you have to say Kriyas Shema.
So the pashtus, they
would agree with the beginning, although we'll see in the Gemara. Again, there are other opinions about the beginning, but they disagree about the end, right? Ram Gamliel says, a third opinion, you have until Alois HaShachar to say Kriyas Shema.
What does that mean? To start or to finish?
To finish. That's what we're going to see in the Gemara. The point is, in other words, one way we have to think about it, again, when you say Uba Shachbacha, does it mean when you're going to sleep, or does it mean when you are asleep? People go to sleep, as Rabbi Eliezer is saying, no later than Seif HaShmur or Rishayim. But people are asleep the rest of the night. So the Chachamim and Ram Gamliel are taking the view, or at least Ram Gamliel is taking the view, that all night is Zman Shechiva, not that people first go to bed shortly before Alois HaShachar. They don't. But people are asleep shortly before Alois HaShachar. Therefore, it's still Uba Shachbacha at the time when you are asleep. And therefore, that's a valid time to say Kriyas Shema. So that's the thing. Uba Shachbacha can either mean when you go to sleep, or it means when you are asleep. So it means, does it mean at the time when you're going to sleep, or when most people are going to sleep, or does it mean sometime during the time when people are asleep? And if you happen to be up later than most people go to sleep, then that's fine, you can still say Kriyas Shema during that time.
Until
the whole time that people are sleeping, right, until they get up, right. So the Mishnah continues. Maise u bono mi beis hamishta. It happened once that Ram Gamliel's children came home late from a party. Beis hamishta usually means a wedding. Omruloy le Korino Shema, and they told him, we haven't yet said Kurishma, and as the Gemara is going to explain later on Dab Chef, Chef, or whatever, when we get to analyzing this part of the Mishnah, they're asking him, what should we do? Are we still allowed to say Shema at this point? It's after Chatzot. What does one have to do with the other? Yeah, no, he wasn't a Kohen. But they came home from his Beis HaMishnah. They realized they hadn't said Shema, and by saying Lo Korinu Es Shema, implicitly they're asking their father, what should we do? Are we still allowed to say Shema? Are we still able to be Yotzer Mitzvah? And he answers them, Im Lo Ola Omer HaShachar Chayav Anat HaLikris. If Alois HaShachar has not come yet, then yes, you're obligated to say Kirishma. Not like the Chachamim that you only have Tochatzes.
So one second, you could have answered that. The Pasuk says the Shachar, so they hadn't gone to bed yet.
That doesn't matter. Let's say, imagine you have a person who works night shift and sleeps during the day. You're not going to say that his Kurishma, that his nighttime Kurishma, he goes to any time. But, right. The point. That's the question. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain later on that test or so, that their question was, given that the Chachamim said Ad Chatzos, is that in fact the halacha, or is it only as the Mishnah is going to continue lahalchus at the other min avera, and therefore if you didn't say Kurishma by Chatzos, the Chachamim will agree that we still have time to say it. And the answer is, Rav Gamliel says, yes, you actually do have the obligation till Alois HaShachar, and as he continues in the Mishnah, the Chachamim are saying Ad Chatzos for a different reason. So he continues, V'lo Zul Bilvad Amru. This isn't the only case where the Chachamim said you have to do something by Chatzos, and really you have a later time. Ela Kol Masha Amru, Chachamim Ad Chatzos. Whenever the Chachamim tell us you have till Chatzos to do something, Mitzvosa, not Shiyala Omer HaShachar, then actually the Mitzvah can be accomplished until Alois HaShachar. For example, Hector Chalavim Ve'evarim. For example, this that you have leftover fats and limbs of carbonus, which can be burned on the mizbeach all night. So the carbon itself has to be brought during the day, but the Chalavim Ve'evarim can be brought during the night. So also mitzvah is actually Yalom HaShachar. The mitzvah is they don't become possible until Alois HaShachar. We're going to talk about in the Gemara later on whether in that case the Chachamim imposed the Chatzos limit. But we're saying that you could offer them until Alois HaShachar. They don't actually become possible until Alois HaShachar. And similarly, the Cholam and Cholam Liyam Echad, any Korbanos where you have that you can only eat them for a day and a night, Chathas and Osham, the Shlomim of Nazir, etc. Also, Mitzvot and Achiyala, Omer HaShachar, when you say you have a day and a night, you're able to eat them until Alois HaShachar.
Okay.
So Rav Gamliel finishes up to them. If so, then why did the Chachamim say about Kriyishma and about eating Kodshim that you're only able to do it till Chatzos? The reason is in order to keep a person far away from Avera, because if a person knows that they have till Alois HaShachar, then they're likely to get careless. They may think, okay, so I don't have to be in a hurry to do it by Chatzos. As the Gemara later on says, a person is going to come home and think, okay, I'll eat something, I'll take a nap, and then I'll get around to davening Ma'ariv and saying Kriyat Shema and whatever. Meanwhile, he sleeps the whole night and misses out the mitzvah. So therefore, the Chachamim establish a deadline at Chatzos, but that's the thing. The Gemara is going to explain later on. Rav Gamliel is telling his children, you should know, it's not the Chachamim hold for whatever reason that Chatzos is the actual deadline d'oraisa. They agree that you have till Alois HaShachar, it's just the takana of the Chachamim that you should be doing it before that. So the Chachamim you should be doing till Chatzos. But in this case, you were busy with the wedding. In this case, you were busy with the wedding. You were making Sameach Chatzim the Kalah, which itself is a mitzvah, Oisif a mitzvah, Chatzim and a mitzvah. But now it's after Chatzos, it's before Alois. So you should still say it. There are of course a number of times when the Rebbe talked about we have a scholar's Masechta now. There are a number of times the Rebbe talked about the beginning of our mission, the beginning of brachas. One of the many times. Is given that we're saying, first of all, we're saying that Kriyishma is Kabbalah El Malchus Shemayim, and that Ebbet brought in that connection the famous thing where the Mezuzah Magid set up an arrangement between his son, Rav Avraham the Malach, and the Alter Rebbe, where the Alter Rebbe would teach Rav Avraham, would teach Rav Avraham Nigla, and Rav Avraham would teach the Alter Rebbe Chassidus. So they started by learning. They started by learning Gemara. They started by learning our Mishnah, Me'emasai Chorin Shema Ba'Iris, and the Malach typed it Me'emasai out of Ema, out of a sense of fear of Yira of Hashem is the mentality which with which you should be saying Shema. So Rabbi Anasicha in Tavshin Yud Gimel expanded on that and talked about that. So in particular, the end of the Mishnah over here that we have that we're saying, suppose a person didn't do that by Chatzos. So we're saying a person has until Alois HaShachar, until right now we're in the dark and then in the nighttime of Golos. Eventually, there's going to be the Alois HaShachar, the rising of the dawn of Mashiach coming. Any time during that time, Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi of Jewish people, is telling us is the time to say Krishna. You missed it by Chatzos. It's still, you're still before your Moshe Mashiach. Get it in now. Get in that Kabbalah El Malchus Shemayim with a sense of Ema, with a sense of the Ema side, while you still can. Don't think that you missed the opportunity. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tana Hecha Koy. What is the Tana basing himself on? The Tana is saying, in other words, it's a given that you have to say Shema at night, and the only question is what's the beginning time and what's the end time. Where is the Tana getting that from? What is he basing himself on? He's starting out from where? In other words, the Tana should have started out. The Tana should have started out something like, from where do we know that we have a mitzvah of Krishna? Or at least you should say, we have a mitzvah of Krishna by night, and then when is the time? Like this is presupposing. Everybody knows that there's a mitzvah of Krishna at night, and the only question we have to ask is the time. Where did he get that from? The two, and also we have to ask, Maishna the Tony Ba'arvis Bereisha, why is the Mishnah beginning with Krishna by night? Listen to Shachris Bereisha. Why doesn't it mention the Shema that you say in the morning first? As Tosfos points out, for example, when it comes to Korban Tamid, the Pasuk mentions first that the Kevasecha Pasa Ba'boiker, that the Kevasecheni Pasa Ben Ha'boy. So it mentions the morning one first and then the afternoon one. So why are we here? We're starting with the night first. That's true, although Krishma both by night and by day is all right.
Well, then there's another question that we should ask.
Yeah.
Why does the Tana Kama take the Shmuel, when they're pointing to Shmuel instead of the...
That we're going to deal with soon, why it doesn't just say take the Chavim. That's what we're going to deal with soon.
Taking the example of the Korban.
Fine, but the question first is where Bechlal we get that there is an obligation to say Krishma at night, that the Tana is saying it as with such a pshittus that there is, and the only question is when. And second of all, the question is why are we starting with the night as opposed to we should expect to start during the day. That's what the Gemara is going to answer. That's one of the answers the Gemara is going to get. The answer is Tana Akrokoi. The answer is Tana is basing himself on the Pasuk, from which we see that there's a mitzvah to say Krishma. Just give a shock. The Pasuk says you have to say Shema when you lie down, when you get up. So therefore he says, Zman Krishma de Shiva Ema. So this Krishma that you have by night, which is mentioned first in the Pasuk, when does that begin? We know from the Pasuk you have to say Shema. So the only question is, when does it begin? And the answer is, Mishal Shakanim Asnafim Lachal B'Trumasim. The Ibari Sema, another possibility, you could say, why does the Tana put the evening first? As you said, Yalef Mibiriyata Shalom, because the Tana is learning from the way it is, from the way it describes it when the world was created. It says it was evening and it was morning one day. That is, yes. Except for Korbanos, that is how it is by us, that we have the night comes first and then the day. In fact, you have there's a Gemara in Shabbos that mentions, you have one of the Chachamim asks another one. He says, why is it when you see animals going, the goats go first and then the sheep? So he says, because it's like Briyas HaShalom. First the dark, then the light. Goats in those days were usually black. We usually had black hair. Most sheep had white. So like the dark comes first and then the Pnimis and Yanim, that's how it is. We have the dark and we have the difficult times first and then comes the light and the brightness of Gilui Elikos and Mashiach. Which is a deeper reason, in fact, why we have it in that order, why we Jews do it that way, first night then day, to represent that. That is how our history is, that's how it is.
Since Kreshma is connected to Hashem, so then we should go according to the Siddur and the Korbanos. And the Korbanos is from early in the morning and then in the evening.
That's what the Gemara was asking. But the answer is that instead we're saying that in general, for most, because keep in mind also, as we said before, the Rambam explains, the reason why we have Krishna first as why it heads up everything in the Mishnah, is because it's all by way of introduction to ultimately, you know, a person needs to eat in order to live, and in order and as a preface to that, we need to talk about brachas, about accepting that Hashem is the one who created it, and 1 second, and we start with Shema. The point is, in other words, Shema and everything else that we're going to be talking about in our Masechta is to be toil on the world, to transform the world into a place of Elokus. And the world as a whole begins with the night and ends with the day. Then Korbanos is an exception. They begin by day, because one idea I think it talks about is that Korbanos represents you're already in a time of Gilui Elokus. You're already in a time when Elokus is revealed in the world. Because after all, the Beis Hamikdash is standing. Therefore, you start with the day. But for the most part, transforming the world has to begin with the nighttime. The fact there's less of it. The fact that Elokus is less revealed. And we have to work on revealing it and making it light. Okay. So the question is, Yehachin Sefer Dukatani. Okay, we're going to say that we're putting the nighttime Shema first because the Shach B'chol Kumecha, and because the night comes before the day. And then what about further on in our Perek, the Katani, we say in the Mishnah, in the morning you say two brachas before Shema and one after it, and in the evening it's two before, two after. So why there? We put in the morning first. Listening to Arvis Bereisha. There it should say the evening Shema first. And then not the next Mishnah, actually. It's actually going to be Mishnah Dalet. But the Gemara is calling it the Sefer because you often have the Gemara calls all the Mishnayos in one parak that are on one topic, calls them Resha and Sefer respectively. But the question is, given that we're saying we should be putting the evening first, then why later on in our parak are we putting the morning first? Tosfos explains the question. If you say you're going according to the pasuk b'shach b'chol kumacha, okay, the pasuk is only talking about Shema itself. Midaraisa, you don't have brachas on Shema. So therefore, okay, so when it comes to the brachas, we don't care about the order. But if we take the second answer that we're going according to b'riyasa shalolam, so why aren't we being consistent and doing always the evening first and in the morning? The answer is, so listening to Iris Bereisha, I should say they're the one of Iris first.
Teach that.
Yeah. The answer is Tana Pasach Iris. The answer is Tana is beginning with Iris for either of the reasons that we said. V'hadar Tani B'Shachrit. Then he continues in the next Mishnah. He continues with Shema in the morning. Ad Dekoy B'Shachrit. Meanwhile, once he starts talking about Kriya Shema in the morning, in the next Mishnah, the name is Akar and Shema B'Shachrit. Once he starts talking about the Shema in the morning, Parish Mili B'Shachrit. So it finishes off teaching everything that's relevant to Shema in the morning. V'hadar Parish Mili D'Arvis, and then it goes back to talking about Arvis. So it's, in other words, it's an order. In English, they call it a chiastic order. You're A, then B, B, then A. So we started with A for reasons that we said before. You start with Iris. Then you go to, right, either Briyasa or because of the Shach B'chol Kumecha. Then you're going to Shachris. While you're on the topic of Shachris, you finish that off. Then you get back to what you started originally. There's a style you find it in many places in Tanakh, and you find it in Mishnayos, and you find it in a lot of places.
Then
he delves into B and explains it in more detail, and then we get back and finish off what's left of A, right? Exactly. By the way, Tosfos points out, you know, like just a couple of days ago when we were at the Siyum, you noticed that after the Baruch Hashem and family Yisrael La'ad, you had the Chazan saying the law of Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen Ba'amin Yiru Enenu. That's a bracha also. It actually ends with a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech B'Chloed Etom and Yimelech Aleinu, etc. So why aren't we counting that? We have two at night. Is Gal Yisrael and Hashkiveinu. Tosfos points out that one was only set up because of Mazik. Because in those days, the shuls were out in the field, and if a person comes late, this other one, Baruch Hashem Olam. So we are not familiar with it because it's not in our Nusach. But those who say it, Ashkenazim outside of Israel say it. So the idea is, Tosfos mentions over here that it was originally made up in order that people will wait for each other in shul. Like this, if a person comes late, he has a chance to catch up while everybody is saying that. And that way, a person doesn't have to walk home from a shul out in the middle of nowhere at night. Okay. Omar, so now let's get back to, by the way, before we continue the Gemara, there's a famous remez, they say on this, the pasuk says, Rosh Dvar Ha'emes, the beginning of Hashem's word is truth. There's a vort, I think it's one of
them.
Fine, but Rosh in particular, at the beginning, we see Emes. I think Rabbi Simcha Bunim of Shisha, I think it says on this, you see this in the initials. The first word of the Aseret HaDibros, which is the beginning of Man Torah, is an Aleph. The first word of the Mishnayot starts with a Mem, Mei Emasai. And the first word of the Gemara begins with a Tav, Tana. Aleph, Mem, Tav, Emet. No, Rosh Dvarach, the beginning of your words, of Hashem's words to the Jewish people, are Emet. So in Teresh of Asav, it's the words Anochi Hashem Alekecha, and in Teresh of Alpeh, it's Mei Emasai and Tana. So it spells out Emet. First comes the Mem, and then comes the Tav, because that's the order in the word Emet. Actually, when it comes to the Emet, well, first comes the Aleph from Anochi Hashem Alekecha. That we don't have on the page over here.
Yeah.
By the way, the end of Mishnayos also. Mishnayos begin with a Mem and end with a Mem. The last word of Mishnayos in Uktin is Hashem Yivorach Hasanei Bashalom, and the last word of the Gemara, which we learned yesterday, is Halach Chos. So it begins with a Sof and ends with a Sof. Getting back to what we said in the Mishnah, Mishnah Shakan and Nechnasim Lechol B'Tumasan, that we said the earliest you can say Shema is when the Kohenim go in to eat their Truma. It's an interesting point, by the way. Mephoshim asked, well, this Omer Mar. Usually we use Omer Mar when we quoted something from a Braisa or from an Amora or something, and we want to analyze it in more detail. It's not a usual beginning when we're quoting something from the Mishnah. Usually the Gemara would just have a quotation from the Mishnah between two dots or something. One answer that I saw is that because here in the Mishnah, this that we're saying, Mishar Shakanim of Nasim Lechol B'Trumasan, that's not the primary focus of our Masechta, after all. The dinim about when Kohenim eat Truma is going to be much later on. We're going to talk about that in Masechta Yevamah. So here it's just an incidental thing, so therefore the Gemara introduces it like Omer Mar. Yes, it's not really the place to discuss it in detail, but given that we mentioned it, let's analyze it. So we said Mishar Shakanim of Nasim Lechol B'Trumasan. So the question is, Mechti Kohenim Emas Ka'achli Truma. Now let's consider, at what point are Kohenim allowed to eat Truma? Mishach Tzeis Kechavim. When they were Tomei, and they Toivol, that is, after Tzeis Kechavim, because that's when Herev Shemesh kicks in. In that case, listening to Mishach Tzeis Kechavim, so why does the Mishnah just straight out say Mishach Tzeis Kechavim, instead of mentioning that the Kohenim El Truma, right? No, instead of mentioning the Kohenim El Truma, just say, what is the beginning of Zman Krishma? It's Tzeis Kechavim. Right. The answer is Nilsa Agav Urche Kamash Mulan. The Mishnah wants to incidentally teach us a different concept. That Kohenim Emas Ka'achu the Truma, you should know, by the way, when are Kohenim allowed to start eating Truma? Mishas Tes Kechavim. They're allowed to eat it after they're told from Tes Kechavim. And the point is, Vaha Kamash Mulan, the Chiddush of that is the Kapara Loi Ma'ach. The fact that they did not yet bring their korban for kapara doesn't matter. In other words, you can have a kohen, let's say, who touched the sheretz or what have you, but you can also have, let's say, for example, a kohen who was a zav. So he finished his seven clean days, and he totaled. He doesn't need to, the next day he needs to bring a korban.
Right.
A zav, a mitzora, you have a few other cases that are mechutz kapara. No, forget about krishma. We're saying truma, he's already allowed to eat. As soon as Tzeis Kechavim, even though he's a Mechusa Kapara, he's still not allowed to enter the Beis Hamikdash without bringing his Korbanos. He's still not allowed to eat Kodshim without bringing his Korbanos. But eating Truma, he can eat as soon as Tzeis Kechavim comes. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Uvor HaShemesh V'Tohar, the Pasuk says, when the sun comes down, and he is Tohar, and we'll see in a second what V'Tohar means, and then the Pasuk says that he's allowed to eat from the Kodshim, which even though the Pasuk says Kodshim, the Gemara explains in Yevamah that it means Truma. Right. So, so only the coming down of the sun, only nightfall, that is, until that comes, then he's prevented from eating Truma. Not bringing his korban for Kapara, that does not hold him back from eating Truma. So that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us with the words Mishal Shakan and Mishnasim Lachal B'Truma. That incidentally, you learn a din that Tzeis Kechavim is the time when they're allowed to eat Truma. You have basically, there's a three-tier thing. You have a three-tier thing. When a person was Tomei, so let's take our example of a Zav. So he toveled on the seventh day. At that point, he's allowed to eat Ma'is Hashem. Then, he went to the mikveh sometime during the day on the 7th, which he's allowed to do.
By that night.
And now, during the rest of that day, after he toveled, he's allowed to eat Ma'is Hashem. Comes the night, then he's not a tzvulyoyim anymore. Now his kohen is allowed to eat truma. And the next day, after he brings his korbanos, then he can eat kodshim. It's a three-step process. So the question is, I'm going to ask, I mean, my, the high uvo Hashem. Well, what he does is he goes with the korban to the Beit Mikdash, and he stands in Shal Nikadur, and they offer the korban on his behalf. And then he can walk in after that. In the case of the Masoda, he sticks in his ear and his thumb and his toe so they can put the blood and the oil on them. In the case of most other Tmeim, they don't need to do that. So the question is, how do you know that the words of Vah Shemesh means that the sun is completely set, Bahai V'Toher Toher Yoima, and you're saying the word V'Toher means that the day is completely cleansed. In other words, the day is completely gone, there's no light left in the sky, which is Kesa Kahadim. Maybe, Dilma Bias Olevu, maybe the words of Vah Shemesh actually mean that the sun rises on the next morning. And then my Tahir, Tahir Gavra, and the word Tahir means only then does the person himself become Tahir, meaning when he brings his Karbanos. So in other words, you're assuming that there's this three-step process, but maybe not. Maybe what it is instead, the person goes to the mikveh, that entire night he's still a Tvoyim. The next morning comes Netzachama, is the earliest he can bring his Karbanos. At that point, he brings his Karbanos, then he's Tahir, then he's able to eat Truma, but up until that point, not. Where are you getting this idea that there's this intermediate stage that B'yis HaShemesh means at night? Exactly. Now, you actually have, Tosfos asks, that among other questions, on the face of it, if it was talking about the sun rising, then it would be using the word v'zorah Hashemesh or yotah Hashemesh or whatever. So doesn't uvah Hashemesh, maybe the past just mean the setting of the sun. So Tosfos learns differently, that the question is not how we know it means tesek kachavim as opposed to the morning, but how we know it means tesek kachavim as opposed to shkia. Maybe uvah Hashemesh means earlier, the opposite of Rashi. Maybe uvah Hashemesh means as soon as the sun sets, Shia, right away then the Tahir, he's Tahir and he's able to eat, and he's able to eat Truma. He doesn't have to wait till Tetzis Chodim. That's true, and there it means it's set. There it means it's set. So, however, for example, you have a pasuk, Kumi Ori Ki Va Oref. You have a pasuk in Shia, fine, but still, it's Gilui Mil Sabama, the word of Va Shemesh. You have a pasuk, Kumi Ori Ki Va Oref. Come, shine, Hashem says to the Jewish people, because your light is ba. And there actually you have different mafoshim, have different explanations. Does it mean ki va odech, because now the time for your light has come, in other words, your light is rising, it's Mashiach time, so shine and then show who you really are. Or does it mean ki va odech, I believe that Ibn Ezra, for example, explains it that way, means ki va odech, because previously your sun set. You were in Golos, but now kumi odech, it's time to arise and shine again. Okay, but the same thing. The point is, we see that the word or sometimes is used instead of Shemesh. You have at the beginning of Tzachim, for example, the Gemara mentioned. Anyways, Aleph Vav Resh, the Gemara explains that it can be used as a synonym for the Tzachim. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is, how do we know that Uvah Shemesh means Tzachik HaKavim? According to Rashi, maybe it means sunrise, and according to Tosfos, maybe it means sunset. So where are you getting that means Tzachik HaKavim? The only way to say it means Tetzik HaKavim is to assume that Vatahir is referring to the light in the sky. The light is cleansed from the sky. But how do you know that? That's what we set up in the bottom of Amaralah. My Vatahir Tahir Yom. The word Vatahir then would not mean the person is Tahir, because you don't need that. He already says, V'achal Yerchem and HaKadshim, then he's need from Kadshim. It automatically means that he's Tahir to a certain extent. In other words, that the light is gone from the sky. So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, in Kain, Lemakura V'yitar. If it was referring to the person that he becomes Tahir at this point and he can eat Truma, then the expression in the pasuk would be V'yitar, which means that he, unequivocally referring to the person, becomes Tahir. My V'tahir, instead it says V'tahir, which therefore doesn't necessarily refer to the person, it can be understood as it becomes clean. Therefore, Tahir Yoyma. So it means the day became clean, in other words, the No, Yitar means that it became clean. Like the expression that people say, the nighttime has come, And Yoima, the day, or actually explains the Shemesh. So there you see that Yoim can mean Shemesh is gone, is completely gone from the sky. The word Tahar can mean completely gone. So that's what it means. It's completely cleansed. There's no trace of it. There's no trace of it left in the sky because all of its light has set. After Shkia, the sun itself has set, but its light is still visible in the sky. Seisa Kachavim is when all the light of the sun is gone from the sky.
And it's not Shkia.
No, that's after Shkia. Seisa Kachavim. So therefore,
one second. Yeah. Is it after Shkia?
That's what we're saying. Now, that's what we're saying. The word Batahar is not referring to the person's status. It's referring to the status of the light in the sky.
Fine, granted. But the light in the sky, that word, Itai, applies after Shkia or after Seis?
At Seis. Only at Seis can we say that all the light is gone from the sky, right? So that's how we know that Uva Shemesh V'Tahar does not mean like Rashi says that it means the sun rises the next morning, and not like Tosfos, the sun sets that evening, but the light of it is still visible in the sky, but rather that the light of it is completely gone from the sky.
By implication, if you didn't say the word Yitayah, then you would have a suffix.
Then you wouldn't know, right?
Uva Yom
could have meant sunrise, or it could have meant sunset. Yes. Right, exactly. Okay. So the Gemara says, this that we just said from Rabba Bar Rav Shila, B'mar Rava, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, heard the Rabba Bar Rav Shila Lo Shmiyamahu. They did not hear in Eretz Yisrael of the statement of Rabba Bar Rav Shila that there's a difference between the Yitzhar and the Tahar. So they had to arrive at this conclusion a different way. Ubo lo miboya. So they started by asking a question. Hai Ubo HaShemesh. What does it mean Ubo HaShemesh in the Pasuk? Bias Shimshay, who does it mean Bias Shimshay? Again, according to Rashi, that sunrise, or according to Tosfos, sunset. Umay v'tahar tahar yoima, and the word v'tahar then means that, Bias Shimshay, who does it mean the sun completely, the light of the sun completely gone from the sky. Umay v'tahar tahar yoima, and then the word v'tahar would mean, as we said, it's referring to the light of the sun. Or does it mean the bia of the light, according to Rashi, sunrise, according to Tosfos, sunset, or my v'tahar tahar gabra, and the word v'tahar then would refer to the person's status, that he becomes tahar. So like this, the Gemara had asked the question previously, and Rabbi Bar Rav Shila gave the answer about the difference between the yitzhar and v'tahar. In Eretz Yisrael, where they weren't aware, they were unfamiliar of what Rabbi Bar Rav Shila said, they had to come about it in a different way. They ended up answering the question on the basis of a braisa. Midkatoni b'braisa sim l'davar seis kachavim. Since a braisa says a way of, which we're going to quote later on in the sugya, a simon for this time, when are the kohenim allowed to eat truma, is seis kachavim. You should know that takes place at seis kachavim. Shma min abias shin shehu. Therefore, the first understanding is correct. Uva shemesh means that the light of the sun is completely gone from the sky. Umay v'tahar tahar yoyma. And the word v'tahar means that the light of the sun is completely gone from the sky, and at that point, then they're allowed to eat truma. So therefore, the v'tahar refers not to the person, but rather to the light of the sun. So exactly like Rabbi Bar Rav Shila said, but they came about, and instead of by analyzing the pasuk, they got it from a braisa.
Because
the braisa is saying, simon l'davar, seis kachavim, a way to remember, the way to realize when the kohenim allowed to eat truma is seis kachavim. We're going to quote it a little later on the omelet. There are, by the way, there's a different girsa. I think the Gaonim had a different girsa, and the Gemara the other way around. Maybe the Tahar, where the Gemara the Gemara had asked, maybe the other way around. Maybe if it means Shkia, that it means Tahar Gavra, and if it means Ba Shemesh, that it means Tahar Yoima, whatever. A whole different girsa, which also. Omar. We said in the Mishnah, Mishnah Shakanim is nothing like the Trumasan. From when the Kohenim go in to eat their Truma, which we just said means Tetek Achavim, either by analyzing the Pasuk or from a Braisa. So the question, and we said that from then you're able to say Shema in the evening, or the Minu, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Me'emasai Kohen as Shema Ba'arin, when, from what's the earliest you can say Shema in the evening, Misha Oni Nichnas Lechol Pite B'melach, from the time when a poor person goes to eat his bread for his supper with salt, and the point is, Rashi says, a poor person can't afford candles or lamps or whatever, therefore he eats at an earlier time while there's still light in the sky. So from that time, Ad Shah Sha'omen B'Potim Matech Sudase, until the time when he gets up and finishes his meal. So that's an earlier time. So Sefer Vade Pligam Asnistin. There's no question then that the end of the Braisa disagrees with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah had said, even Rabbi Eliezer had said that the earliest you could do, that the earliest deadline for Shema was Rabbi Eliezer's, and he said, Ad Sofa Shmoro Rishona. The Oni doesn't finish his meal at Sofa Shmoro Rishona, because it's long since dark by that time, and the whole point is he can't afford candles. So there's no question that that part definitely disagrees with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying even Rabbi Eliezer says he has until, let's say, 10 o'clock at night, and the Braisa is saying only until when the Oni finishes his meal, which would be much earlier, because he starts his meal early and finishes it early, right? Right, but no, right. We're talking about Shoyt Manius, though. Exactly. We're talking in terms of Shoyt Manius. This is what we're saying. I'm so far Shmoda Roshona. So on a day when the sun sets at 6 and rises at 6, and so far Shmoda Roshona will be 10 o'clock at night. Let's say during the winter, in Eretz Yisrael, the earliest Shia during the winter in Eretz Yisrael is about 5, and then at that time the sun rises at 7, so then you have 14 hours. Then you have 14 hours of night. So you divide those 14 by 12. That's what Shoyt Manius are. You come out there for a Shoz Manus, about 50 minutes. So then you would say, four Shoz Manus, 50 minutes, would be 3 hours and 20 minutes. So then you would say, then it would come out, counting from 5 o'clock in the evening, you would get to 8:20. So it depends, yeah, it's going to vary. That's when we have every day, we know that Sos Man Krishma varies from day to day. And we're going to learn in the next mission that Sos Man Krishma also depends on Shoz Manus. That's why it varies from day to day. Because from day to day, sunrise is earlier or later, Shia is later or earlier, and the amount of time between them is divided by 12, and it varies from day to day. Okay, the point is, in other words, so the Gemara says, Sefer Vade Pligamas Nisim, so the end of the Braisa, and no question, argues with our Mishnah, because there's no way that the Oni finishes his meal as late as Sos Ashmura Rishana. Resha Milema Pligamas Nisim, do we have to necessarily say that the beginning of our Braisa also disagrees with the Mishnah? If it's mentioning this time when the Oni goes to eat his bread with salt, sounds like that's much earlier than Sefer Kahavim. The answer is no, not necessarily. Oni v'koyin chad shiorahu. You could say that what the Oni does every night and what a koyin tomei does as far as eating chuma is actually the same time. They both begin at Sefer Kahavim. You could assume. We're going to see later on in the Gemara whether that's correct, but for the moment, we don't have to assume necessarily. We would rather say the Braisa doesn't argue with the Mishnah, especially because when you get down to it, in the Mishnah, you know, we have the line, Yishor shakanim asnasa lecha b'trumasin ad sofa ashmora rishona. The Gemara would rather assume to begin with that the first line, Yishor shakanim asnasa lecha b'trumasin, is according to everybody. And only ad sofa ashmora rishona is specifically Rabbi Yezir's thing. And then the Chachamim and the Mio disagree with it. So in that case, we would rather assume that the first part, Yishor shakanim asnasa lecha b'trumasin, is according to everybody. And in that case, we would like not to have a braisa that contradicts it. The Gemara says, but I have a contradiction to that. Another Braisa says, at what point can you start saying Shema in the evening? So the mayor says that would be the time when people go to start their meal on Friday evening. And Rashi explains that we're talking about on Friday evening, everything is prepared because you have to have it all done before Shabbos. Therefore, people start their meal early. So by us, we don't necessarily do that, but in those times, I guess they did, or many people, even nowadays, do. Sometimes they start their Shabbos. So it means it as well, the Pashas, the Nes before Tefek Chavim. Divir Abmeir, the Chachamim Omim, Mishal Shakainim, Zakoim, Lechol, B'Trumasim. The Chachamim say from when the Kohenim are allowed to eat Trumah. So we see, in other words, that obviously there is a Machloikas. First of all, we see obviously there is a Machloikas, and second of all, we also see... Now, as Gemara is going to say soon, obviously we have to be talking about two different times. That's the point. We obviously have a machlokas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim, because otherwise, what are they saying? And the Braisa continues. The Chachamim say, Simon Ladova Sefer Chachamim, a way, a simon for that time of what is the time when the Kohenim are able to eat Trumah is Sefer Chachamim. You may not be familiar with when the Kohenim eat Trumah. You may not have any Kohenim in your neighborhood, so you don't know what their eating habits are. But Sefer Chachamim gives you a clearer thing of it. The Alpha Pishe and Raya Ladova continue the Chachamim, even though you don't have a solid proof from Sukkim that the day is considered to end at Tehillah for him. Okay, we had before Tohu Yoma and all, but still we had to darshan it. It wasn't so clear. So we don't have a solid proof that the day ends at Tehillah for him, but Zeicha L'Dover, we have something that helps us remember it. We have a hint to it in a pasuk. Shenemar, because you have a pasuk in Nehemiah, the pasuk describing over there where the Jewish people are rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, and they're being harassed by the enemies, and by the enemies, by the Kosim, and whatever. So the pasuk says, "Anachnu osim b'malacha," we were doing the work over there, building the wall. The chetzia machzikim b'ramach, and half of the people were holding spears to defend in case the. One second. They were doing this from Alois HaShachar to Tetzik HaKavim. Fine. Well, that's fine. The point still remains that it mentions that they were doing the work and holding the spears until Tetzik HaKavim. But one second. But Omer, and you have the next passage says, V'hoyolonu ha'layla mishmer v'hayon malacha. The basic rule was, at night we were guarding, and by day we were working. So in other words, the pasuk is equating the me'alois hashachar ad tesek hachavim with yoy. So the pasuk is telling us during the entire day, while some people were working on building the wall, other people were standing on guard with spears. And since the pasuk says that during the day we were working and during the night we were all standing guard, then that means, in other words, or whichever people were on shift were standing guard, that means until tesek hachavim is considered day. Now, it's only a zecher because it's not talking about Kriyishma over there. No, but the point is not that we learn from what they were doing in wartime. We learn from the fact that he calls the entire time Malois HaShachar until Tesek HaKavim, he calls it Yud. Because otherwise, we didn't need him to say in the next passage that to summarize that the day was for working and the night was for guarding. Once he said that from Malois HaShachar until Tesek HaKavim, some people are working and some people are guarding, obviously that means that at night they can't just abandon the whole thing. They're going for attack by night, so obviously somebody has to be standing guard by night. So the fact that he stresses Lila versus Yoim means that he wants to define for us, at least with a hint, what Yoim is and what Lila. So the Gemara asks, "Ma'iva Oimer?" Okay, so why do you need the second pasuk? Once we say Ma'alois HaShachar Ad Tesek HaKavim, isn't that enough to establish that that's the definition of daytime? The answer is no. V'chi tema, because you might have argued Miki Arva Shim Shalel Yehu. You could answer like this: fundamentally, you could say the day is over at Shkia. The Inu de Machashchi Umakad. In their case, because they had a wall to finish and they were trying to do it as fast as possible, therefore they would start earlier than usual and end later than usual. So you can't necessarily say from that, sort of like what you're saying. Maybe, in other words, it was a special case, it was an emergency situation, so therefore they worked longer shifts than normal. Maybe the usual definition of yoyim is only from Nes until Shkia. And in their case, they were trying to hurry it up, so therefore they'd put in an extra hour in the morning, an extra hour in the evening. Maybe that doesn't show that for most purposes, daytime begins at a lowest and ends at day. Toshma v'ha'yolano la'ayla mishvahad v'ayyem malacha. Therefore, we need the second pasuk that he actually calls the entire time that they were working, he calls it yoy. So therefore, we see it's not just that because of the emergency situation, then he wouldn't have had to say that second pasuk. Then we would say they were working the entire day and a little bit of the night at either end. But by stressing ha'yoyim malacha and ha'layla mishmar, he's saying that we started exactly when the day begins and ended exactly when the day ends. So therefore, the definition of day is until Tetzis Chavim. Now, ma'iva oyma means, why do we have to bring a second pasuk? Once we have the first pasuk, isn't that enough of a proof? Okay. So now that we established that, now that the Chachamim established that we have a hint in the pasuk that says the Chachamim is the end of the day, now let's get back, let's analyze the Braisa. For purposes of the question, we're going to assume that most people are like the Aniyim. In other words, you have the Aniyim during the whole week eat a little earlier than most people do, because as Rashi said before, they can't afford candles. We're going to assume for purposes of the question that most people on Friday evening do the same thing. They start their meal early, because given that during Shabbos you can't light candles, you can only light them before Shabbos, but Pashtus, they would want to start earlier. No, one second. So therefore, if we say that, we have to consider like this. So far we've had three definitions. We have the Shoshat Hanim Echnasim Lachal B'Trumasim. We have when an Ani starts eating during the whole week. And we have Rav Meir's definition when people start eating Friday night. if we assume that the Oni during the week and everybody else, rich or poor, on Friday night start at the same time, then if also we said before, we wanted to say in connection with the first Braita, that the Oni starts eating at the same time, says the Kachavim, that the Kohen does, well, then it means all three are the same. The E-Amet Oni V'Kohen Chadshiru. If now you say, as we wanted to regarding the first Braita, that the Oni starts eating during the week, and the Kohen starts eating Truma after having been Tomei and Tovel at the same time, Chachamim Hayinu Rameir. Then the Chachamim effectively are saying the same thing as Rameir, because then it comes out all these three definitions are all the same thing. And we can't say that. The fact that there's machloikas means Ela Shmamina Oni Shur Lachud, Bekoyin Shur Lachud. Wouldn't that mean, therefore, returning to the first Braisa, that if we have a definition in the first Braisa of when the Oni starts eating, and we have an On Mishnah when the Koyanim starts eating, apparently they're arguing with each other. Not like we wanted to say we don't have a Braisa. The Mishnah says the Koyanim, and the Braisa says the Oni, and therefore we wanted to say that maybe we can answer and say they're both saying the same thing, but obviously not. Obviously that Braisa, even though it's a Stam Braisa, and we prefer not to have it arguing with the Mishnah, nevertheless we have no choice but to say it argues with the Mishnah. Right. The answer is not necessarily loy. Oni the koyin had shiuru. The answer is not necessarily. It might be that the oni and the koyin are indeed the same thing. Therefore, the first braisa does not argue with our mishnah. The oni ubnei adam lav had shiuru. However, the oni and when people start eating on Friday night is not the same shiur. In other words, we can reduce the three definitions we had. We can't say that all three definitions are the same thing, but we can say that. But we say that two of them. Right. So first, we thought that the oni and bnei adam are the same. And then if we were going to say that Oni and Koyin are the same, then all three are the same. That doesn't work. So now we're saying there's one time is when the Koyinim start eating, and that is, there's one time when the Koyinim start eating Truma. That's a Seita Kachav. No, that's not the same as Oni. That is the same as Oni. Yeah, the Oni starts eating at Seita Kachavim. The Koyin also starts eating Truma at Seita Kachavim, because before that he's not allowed to. What? According to this, we're saying we said Mishasha on in Nichnas Lechol Pitzur Melach. When he begins, so he begins at Seisik Chavim. Fine, I mean it's true. It's dark outside, but still, you know, he's able to. He doesn't have much to eat, right? So yeah. So he starts. So we're going to assume, therefore, that he starts at Seisik Chavim the same time that the Kohen starts eating his Truma. Other people on Friday night start eating at a different time.
Why?
Because there's no reason to assume they start specifically at Seif. In fact, we would assume they start a little earlier. So why not? Hold on. Rashi had said, because when it comes Friday night, all the food is prepared already. You can't prepare any of it on Shabbos. During the week, a regular person might delay a little longer because the food is still cooking or whatever. Shabbos. Yeah, Rashi had mentioned that before. I mentioned that before, yes.
You can't have, like, candles. That's for the
army. No. For Friday night.
So
that's the point. So therefore, you want to eat as soon as possible after their lift. And the food is prepared, and therefore people are going to eat earlier. Right. So now, though, the question is, so are you telling me, so far we're saying, again, that we have three definitions, but we're actually reducing them to two. We're saying the oni and the koyin is one definition, teisik hachavim. When people start eating Friday nights is a different definition, that's Reb Meir's. Can we say that the Oni and the Koyin start at the same time? Or a minu, I have a contradiction from yet another Braisa. And at what point are you allowed to start saying Shema in the evening? Rabbi Eliezer says that is the time when Shabbos starts, which is Bein HaShemoshes, on Friday evenings when the day becomes holy, which is Bein HaShemoshes. Because once Shia comes, it's already a Sophic, whether it's day or night. That's fine, but at that point, Rabbi Eliezer says, you're already allowed to start saying Shema. Rabbi Yeshua says, when the Kohenim are Tahar to be able to eat their Truma, which apparently is the same definition as our Mishnah, Mishal Shakhanim is nothing like Chobot Trumasim. Reb Meir says it's an earlier time, even before Bein HaShemoshes, when the Kohenim Tovel, they can Tovel any time before Bein HaShemoshes, any time before Shkia. Because the point is, if you actually bring from a Gemara and Shabbos, where we have a whole sugya about Shkia and Seif, that the point is, you have to Tovel sometime before Shkia in order that Head of Shemesh takes effect. If they Tovel after Shkia, you already have a Sophic, whether it's day or night, and then the Head of Shemesh won't work. Sort of Meir is saying even earlier, Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the mayor, how can you say that you can say Shema as early as when you're tovaling? Don't the Kohenim tovel while it's still daylight? And how can you be saying Shema of the night before Shkia? How can you be saying Shema of the, how can you be saying the nighttime Shema while it's still daylight? So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Bein HaShmoshes begins a half mil walk before Sefer Kechavim. A mil, you have different opinions, between 18 and 24 minutes. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Bein HaShmoshes begins anytime between 9 and 12 minutes before Bein HaShmoshes. A mil is either 18, 22 and a half or 24 minutes, according to different quotes.
So why 12 minutes?
Half a mil. So it's obviously still daytime. It's 12 minutes before this. It's however long. It's still before Bein HaShmoshes. Now, how are you telling me that? How are you telling me that you can start saying Shema that way? Okay. And soon the Gemara will explain what Rameh would answer to that. Okay. Rav Chanina says the earliest you can say Shema is the time when the poor person sits down to eat, goes in to eat his bread with salt. At the time when most people sit down to the their dinner. So all these, that's the question. So we have to figure out how many opinions are there over here. We assume before, we were trying to equate when the poor person eats and when the Kohenim eats Shuma and say, therefore, the first Braisa doesn't contradict our Mishnah, but if you say it at the same time, Rav Chanina, Ainu Rav Yeshua, then it comes out that Rav Chanina, who says that when the poor person goes to eat, is saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua, when the Kohenim are able to eat Truma. So obviously the time of the Oni is one thing and the time of the Kohen is a different time. So Shmamina, that proves it.
And Rabbi
Yeshua are saying the same thing, because then we would have no reason to mention their both opinions. We would just say, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yeshua. Right. So what that means is we were trying to make it that the first braisa that we quoted, a stam braisa that said, we were trying to make that not contradict our Mishnah. Now we're saying we have no choice. We have to assume that contradicts our Mishnah. Which means, again, that when we said in the Mishnah, it does not mean, according to everybody, it's only one opinion.
That statement.
One Tana says that. So it might be Rebbe Eliezer, it might be, when Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, when Rebbe composed the Mishnah, he chose this opinion and put it as a Stam Mishnah. But you should know that there were actually other opinions.
Including
Rebbe Chanina and including Rebbe Choy. So far we have five different So based on the Braisa, we just quoted, it's according to Rebbe Yeshua. Rebbe Yeshua was saying that's the time when the Kohenim are able to eat Truma, that would be what we're saying, Mishar Shak Anim, Knossel Michael, but Trimothan, that would be according to his opinion.
That would be
Tesha Kahavan. That
everybody agrees on.
Yeah.
And that's why we choose the Mishnah. Because if you choose the Anim, then everybody has different thoughts.
Because everybody agrees the Kohen can eat Shema at Tesha Kahavan, but not everybody agrees that that's the same time for eating Shema. For saying Shema.
No, I agree. Okay. But everybody agrees that eating Shema is. Everybody agrees on the time.
Fine, but that's not the primary focus of our mission. Okay. So now the question is, okay, no, the primary focus is when you can start saying Shema. So there we have five different opinions. So now the question is, among these various opinions, which one is the latest? We have a bunch of different opinions. Which one is the actual latest time? So the Gemara says, Mistabra de Oni Me'ocher. It's logical. It's important to know which one, because we want to know, practically speaking, if we want to know who that Lacha is. Which one is late? The Mistabra de Oni Me'ocher. The logical thing is to say that the time when the Oni starts eating must be the latest of all these definitions. The E Amut de Oni Me'ocher, because if you're going to say that he is earlier than the other one, then Rav Chanina Heine Rav Eliezer.
Right.
Then Rav Chanina would come out saying the same thing as Rav Eliezer. Rav Eliezer, one second, hold on. Rav Eliezer is saying at Shia. Rabbi Eliezer is saying beginning from Shia is when Bein HaShmoshes begins, and at that point you can start saying Shema. If Rabbi Chanina, who's saying when the poor person goes to eat, is talking, is earlier than Tesek Chavim, that comes out, he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer from Shia. Well, it means that, no, if we assume that he's the earliest. No. If we assume that the Oni is the earliest of all of them, then it means that he's coming out the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer.
Rabbi
Eliezer said the beginning of Bein HaShmoshes, which is Shia. if Rabbi Hanina is saying that the Oni starts eating at Shkia, then saying the same as Rabbi Eliezer. El alav shramin on the Oni mo'ochot. So obviously it must mean that the Oni is that the Oni is later. Right. Actually, Rashi, well, you have different stories in Rashi over here, but we're not necessarily asking whether the Oni is later than all of them, but which one starts later, the Oni or the Kohen? So the answer is the Oni must start, the Oni must be starting later than the Kohen, because if he starts earlier than the Kohen, then the only time to assume would be Shkia, and then it would be the same thing as Rebbe. Okay. So that's
the Kohen.
The Kohen can eat Truma from Tesha Kohen.
From
Tesha. If we said the Oni is earlier would be Shkia. There's no particular time between Shkia and Seif that you can point to and say this is the time. Remember, people don't have clocks. People go. You're going to have. People do according to a defined time, either Shkia or Seif. There's no particular reason to think that he sits down 6 minutes after Bein HaShemashes, let's say. Okay. So that shows that the Oni is later than the Kohen. Yeah, again, you have different Gersoris in Rashi over here. We have twice in Rashi, you have the word Lekulam in parenthesis, because Marsha and Marshal takes it out. So the question is, are we saying that the Oni starts later than all the times we mentioned, or specifically are we focusing on the Koyim? The Oni starts eating later than the Koyim. Okay. Nevertheless, they have to wait until Faith, because until then they're talking.
Well, that's
what we're saying. Yeah.
So okay. We say that the Oni starts...
So we're saying, according to that, we're saying the Oni starts later than that. He starts later than Faith. He starts eating.
In order not to make
that Rabbi Chanina is agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, but they can't be because we presented them as different opinions.
Yes,
okay, but that's true. But on the other hand, you have the point. On the other hand, we can say the Oni is also working longer hours. He has to work for a living, probably out in the field, and therefore it takes a longer time for him to get home. Now let's continue. We said in the Braisa, Omalei Rabbi Yehuda v'Alei Kohen v'Oyin, that the Oni is later than the Kohen. So we said in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says to the mayor, what do you mean that you can start eating, that you can start saying Shema from when the Kohen Tovel, don't say Tovel during the daytime, because they have to Tovel before Shkia, and how can you say that at the time when over Shachar? So it must have Shabbat Omalei Rabbi Yehuda v'Alei Mayor. Rabbi Yehuda has a good point. What would Rabbi Meir answer to that? Yeah. But Rabbi Meir hachikamalei. So Rabbi Meir would answer as follows. Mi savrat anoa ben hashmoshes didoch kamina. You think that I'm talking about your definition, you, Rabbi Yehuda's definition of ben hashmoshes. Anoa ben hashmoshes Rabbi Yosi kamina. I'm actually referring to a different definition of ben hashmoshes, namely Rabbi Yosi's definition. You say, Rabbi Yehuda, that ben hashmoshes begins at half a meal, or the Gemara mentions in Shabbos over there different possibilities, 3/4 of a meal or whatever, before Shkia. Rabbi Yosi says over there that Ben HaShemoshes Keheref Ayin. Ben HaShemoshes is, that's what the Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ben HaShemoshes Keheref Ayin. Rabbi Yosi says that Ben HaShemoshes is like the blink of an eye. Zen Nichnas V'zeh Yosi. The day is going out, the night is coming in. The actual Lamed Olav. It's impossible to determine what that exact moment is. So therefore, in other words, the you, Rabbi Yehuda, are assuming that Ben HaShemoshes begins a while before Shkia, and therefore you're asking how can you say Shema so early. I'm following Rabbi Yosi's definition of Ben HaShemoshes, that it only takes a moment. Actually, you have in Seder Achnas Shabbat, the Alter Rebbe wants to say that Rabbi Yosi's moment actually means 2 minutes. But anyway, the point is, how the Alter Rebbe explains Keherifayin, I don't know, but the point is the Alter Rebbe explains over there that it could mean as much as 2 minutes. Because you have one definition.
Is, 2 minutes?
No, because we have one definition is that it means a meal, which is 18 minutes. Another definition of Ben HaShemoshes is 20 minutes. So the two minutes difference. Fine, the Alter Rebbe would explain that relative to Rabbi Yehuda, which is a longer time, Rabbi Yosi can be called Keherifayin. Anyway, the point is that... The point is the much shorter amount of time. Therefore, I have no problem with the Kohen Toveling right before that and also being able to say Shema right before that. That's late enough that it can be called a Rosh Hashanah. It's close enough to Shkia. Okay. The one last question we have to ask is Kasha did a mayor, I did a mayor. We have, or two last questions, we have a contradiction between the mayor's two statements because we had one of the Brice that we quoted in the middle of Beis Amud Beis said that the time of Kriyashma begins when people start eating the meal Friday night. And then in the last braisa, where we had all the opinions, we said when the Kohenim Tovel to eat Truma, which would be before Shkia. So it's not quite the same thing. In the first braisa, the mayor had said when people start eating their meal Friday night. that's well, it's relatively early, but it's still later than the Kohen starts eating Truma. Then we had in the second bright, it says when the Kohen of Tovel eats Truma, which is even earlier than they eat it, obviously. The answer is Trei Tanoia Livid Rameir. The answer is there are two Tanoim who argue within what Rameir is saying.
They have two different Tanoim.
But Rameir had different opinions what their Rebbe had said. Similarly, we can ask Kasha the Rabbi Eliezer, Ad the Rabbi Eliezer. We also have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Eliezer. Once we're saying that Mishal Shakhanim, Asnasim, Lechob, Asrimas, and Ad Soif, Ashmur, Arishoina, in the Mishnah is all Rabbi Eliezer, then Rabbi Eliezer is saying from when the Kohen meets Shema. But in the Braisa, we said that Rabbi Eliezer says that the beginning of the time of Shema is, when Shabbos begins at Shkia, at the beginning of Ben Hashmashim. The Mishnah said when the Kohenim are able to eat Truma, which is Sefer Kohanim. And again, the answer is Trei Tanoim Alibi the Rabbi Eliezer. One answer, again, we could say there's two Tanoim arguing what Rabbi Eliezer says. The Iboy same, or another answer, you could say Rei Shalav Rabbi Eliezer. The words Ad Soif Hashmar, the words Mishar Shakanim Asnasim Lachal B'Trimasan are not part of Rabbi Eliezer's statement. We assume the Machshon assumed that the entire phrase Mishar Shakanim Asnasim Lachal B'Trimasan Ad Soif Hashmar Rishon is all Rabbi Eliezer. Now we're saying no. Mishar Shakanim Asnasim Lachal B'Trimasan is according to somebody else, such as Rabbi Yeshua from the last break. Only the words Ad Soif Hashmar Rishon is from Rabbi Eliezer. Right. So therefore, we don't have to say that there were two Tanoim arguing within what Rabbi Eliezer said. Okay. Yeah.